to Acts chapter 16. We're continuing our sermon series on the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. And we will be in verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16, all the way through 24. If you're able to stand with me, please stand as we read God's word. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. This is the word of the Lord. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray this morning. Oh God, help us this morning as we go before your word. Give us wisdom and knowledge and knowing how to see these things. I pray that you would illumine our hearts and that you would convict our hearts of following after the things of the world and come to your kingdom with open arms, receiving and resting in the gospel of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are continuing the passage of Acts chapter 16. Last week we talked about what? Lydia. We talked about how the Spirit of Christ guided Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, the word changing from we to us, right? So Paul took over somewhere around this part, and we see it going from Paul talking about himself or someone talking about Paul to Luke talking about us, and we see it in the text here, and we saw it last week. But there's two significant parts in chapter 16. We already saw Lydia's salvation and the Spirit leading them to Macedonia. But the second part we see is the salvation of the Philippian jailer. We all know that passage. But I wanted to break up that section into two parts to see really what happened before the Philippian jailer. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We see the gospel. Number one, the gospel opposition through persecution. That's what we're seeing in this section. And then next week, we'll see the gospel advancement in the midst of persecution. So look at with me at verses 16 through 17. I labeled this section as "This age is motivated by fortune." This age is motivated by fortune. Paul and Silas were at the height of their career in Philippi. What just happened? Well, you just had Lydia, a businesswoman, going to the place of prayer and meeting them there. And what happened? The Spirit opened her mind to understand the gospel. And what happened after that? She goes to her family and shares the gospel, and then they're all baptized. That's a big win for a missionary journey, right? They went to Macedonia because this Macedonian man called them that there needs to be the gospel here. And look, what a great thing. The Spirit was working mightily through them in Philippi. But it's only obvious for us to ask the question, what's around the corner? Isn't that how Scripture works? What's looming around the corner? I mean, a lot of us think when we have wins in life, we're like, I wonder, you know, what's around the corner from this? This seems too good to be true. Well, we know the devil is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Notice how the devil disguised himself as an innocent servant girl. What a crazy thing to think about. No one would have expected this little girl, this woman, whoever, to cause so many problems as what we just saw. You never would have thought that. She opposed Paul and Silas. She's confronting them. But she notice she's not uttering anything that's false, but mocking them with the truth of God. Satan used this nagging woman to cause chaos, speaking the truth. And I wonder if Paul thought of Proverbs 25:24. It's better to live in a corner of the housetop than the house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Was he thinking that? I don't know. I mean, he knew Scripture well. But here's what Luke is drawing our attention to as we focus in on this passage. She made her master wealthy with divinations. That's the first thing he says. Fortune is at the forefront. The second thing I want to draw out is if she was willing to tell the truth, why was she a problem? Why shouldn't they have said, yeah, we do know the way of salvation. Great job. Keep it up. You're our cheerleader. What was the problem? Just because people say or do good things doesn't mean they're of God, right? We just talked about this morning in Sunday school. Just because someone does a good thing or says good things doesn't mean they're of God. And how do we know she wasn't of God? And what do we know through 1 John? You notice by their fruits. Her fruits. What did she live for? Tom alluded a little bit to that in his prayer. She lived in opposition to the gospel. How? God's law tells us in Leviticus chapter 19:31, it says, do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out and so make yourself unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. She was in direct opposition of God. She wasn't looking for divination. She was giving them. Her fruit showed her what she was. So there's nothing wrong with making an honest living. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to provide for our family. These are all great things, and we all should pursue that. There is a difference between seeking first riches, right? And seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So are you motivated in life by the spirit of this age? Turn on the TV. Turn on the TV, right? Turn on the news. Turn on any channel. And you're gonna see the lavish lifestyle of the rich and famous. Are you motivated by the spirit of this age? Do you want that? Is that your chief end in life? Or are you motivated by seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness? This morning we saw a little part of people seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. This brings us to our second point. We not only see that the age is motivated by fortune. This was the main focus here. But also we see that the gospel sets us free from this age. The gospel sets us free from this age. Notice in verses 18 through 21. Satan blinded the minds of these people. Why and how? By a direct agent inspired by his, what? Craft of lying to them. And Paul, notice, wasn't annoyed that she was calling out they knew the way of salvation. That's not what it was, but he saw through Satan's plan to do what? To stir up trouble and oppose the gospel message. He saw through it. Satan knows what he is doing, people. He knows what he's doing. He's very crafty. He is using the cover of innocence. This is very important. Very important. He is using the cover of innocence to hide his arrows of poison. He is the master of disguises, and he'll use a sweet, well-intentioned person to spew out words of doubt, fear, death, to manipulate you and to use you. That's it. The God of this age is to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. He wants to manipulate you and use you for his end. Paul wasn't falling for her truthful chance of deception. He knew that behind her chanting lie the great serpent of old, the enemy of the truth, seeking to coil around him and choke him out. That's what he knew. Through the power of the Spirit in his life, he saw this. So what does he do? This is phenomenal. He opposes Satan with the truth of the gospel. Wow. He didn't pull out a sword. He cast out the demon of hell into the abyss by the name that is above all other names. Do you believe the name of Christ has power? Today, are you chained by the lies of Satan? Are you chained by his lies? Are you pursuing after the spirit of this age? Are you listening to the sweet lies of the minions whispering in your ears to seek after the rusting things of this world? Do your sins bind you, or do you have freedom? We talked about that today. Here's a litmus test for us this morning. Do you hate your sin? Do you hate your sin? You coil back at the fact that you are doing opposite of what God calls you to do. Are you daily asking the Spirit to root out the sin in your life? A people who love their sin and has no conviction will be cast into the abyss, but a person who turns from sin, receives, and rests in the gospel will feast at the table of the Lord. You don't have to beat yourself in order to be at the table of the Lord. You don't have to walk on your knees on the carpet and burn your kneecaps out and come to the altar and cry your eyes out. What do you need to do? You need to look to the name that is above all other names. Receive and rest in the gospel. That's the only solution. The gospel will set you free. The gospel sets us free from the spirit of this age, the lies of Satan, the arrows of the evil one. But not only this, we understand why we need the gospel. Because the world out there hates the gospel. The spirit of this age, the God of this age, hates the gospel as the little lady was out there mocking them with the gospel. Notice what happens in verses 22 to 24. When Satan doesn't get his way, what does he do? We're seeing that actively outside the kingdom of grace right now if you turn the news on. What happens when people don't get their way? What happens when a toddler doesn't get their way? What happens? You don't have to be a parent to know when you don't give a kid what he wants. Oh man, he is raising Cain, right? There's a lot of young parents in here that have kids that know what that means. They cause havoc. Not in mom and daddy's house. If you don't have rules in your house as a mom and daddy, you know this, they will run you like a dog, right? He stirs up gossip. He brings together mobs to bring what? Death and destruction. Boy, I'm so glad that our little toddlers can't talk well. And they're not bigger than us. Because all of us would be dead. Amen. This is the enemy's MO. And I had to look that up. Mode of operation. This is the way he works. You will recognize a person, what? By their fruits. Do they honor others or dishonor others? What is your mode of operation? Gossip is one of the most destructive, rotten fruits of the enemy. And this sin that wreaks havoc is not just people who go out violently and protest, but it's the seemingly sweet words of a supposed friend that tears down another in the church. Many people think that when they become believers in the gospel, their lives will get better. Everything is going to be good now. Wonderful. I'll have no issues in life. Well, it's true that your life is better because you're in the hands of Christ. However, and you have abundant life because you can feed, right, on the living word that one day you will rise again. Under his new rule, under Christ's kingdom. But what this means is that you are called to do what? Not only to receive and rest, but you are called to deny yourself and follow him. This is no longer about the age, following the age of this world. You will be tempted as a Christian more than ever to follow the age, the deception of this world, to follow after Satan's schemes. You will have the greatest temptation in your life now that you follow his kingdom of grace. He wants you. He wants to make a mockery of you and his church. A person who doesn't live under the kingdom of grace does what they feel, they desire, and will. But there's a difference. Under the kingdom of grace, we as believers need to fulfill what? The king's will. You're no longer under the kingdom of darkness. You're no longer in Adam. You are in Christ. You have union with him. So what? Fulfill his will. And yet this doesn't mean that life is easier. A few weeks ago, someone in Tacoma, Washington, Carly and I lived in Tacoma, Washington for a little bit, was stabbed because they confessed to be a Christian. Did you hear about that? Do you think that person's life got easier? Just because they confessed to be a Christian, they got stabbed. This is why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We don't want that to happen to us, but the devil is real. He's roaring. He's out there. Paul and Silas were what? He says they were beaten and they were placed into the innermost chamber. And the stocks, these weren't violent men. They didn't do it. This was unjust suffering. Because why? They cast out a demon by the word of truth. Because they spoke the truth, they were beat by a mob and put in shackles. That's unjust. But though the gates of hell seemed to prevail in that moment, next week we will see Christ building his church. And what we see as bad works out for God's glory. Are you afraid of living out your faith in the open? The stakes are high right now, and Satan thinks he's winning. He thinks he's winning, but he's fighting a losing battle. We know the end of the story, don't we? Don't shrink back to what God has called you into. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back at what he has called you into. Brothers and sisters, walk in the light. I want to bring this whole thing together and piece it together. Last week we saw Lydia going to this river. Here's a woman who had a business going to the river to pray. The gospel met her and her whole family was saved. This week we're seeing another woman. She's going to the river with them, but she is in opposition to the gospel. She is bringing wealth to people. But when she is confronted by the gospel, she goes back and possibly tries her divination, right? It doesn't work. And she spreads gossip. She spreads rumors. And she creates a mob that oppose the kingdom of God. What a difference of two different people in the same city. One receives life. And one receives damnation and takes many with her. The gate and the road is narrow, but broad is the way to destruction. So brothers and sisters, repent. Repent of living in opposition of the gospel. You would say, Jonah, well, I'm already Christian. I already joined the church. I've been baptized. I read the Bible every day. I pray every day. And I say to you, repent of your opposition of the gospel. We all need to hear it. Believe in Jesus afresh this morning. Put off the deeds of darkness, gossip, lying, seeking fortune over Christ. Receive the freeing message of the gospel and trust in Christ's promises. And what does he promise? That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you trust in his work this morning in your life? The spirit of this age opposes the gospel. If you're wondering what my main title is this morning, the spirit of the age opposes the gospel. The age is motivated by fortune. The gospel is, it sets us free from this age. And this age we know is harsh. It hates the gospel. This morning, if you hear the gospel, turn from the spirit of this age. Repent and believe. This look to the gospel to set you free this morning from the wages of sin and death. Remember that when the world hates you for your stand for the truth, remember this. Don't shrink back, but stand firm on the rock of your salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh God, we come before you and we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, oh God, because your name is above all other names. You knew us before the foundation of the world, and you said in John 6:44, all that the Father has given me will come to me. I will cast out none. I will lose none from my hand. May we this morning who hear that message, may we repent and believe and do everything we can to be a part of your kingdom of grace on this earth. Because thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.